You're listening to From the Terraces on Cambridge 105.
And welcome today. I was going to give you the date then. Welcome to the day, Sunday the something of February, the 2nd or 3rd of February.
2nd.
2nd of February, there we go. Sunday the 2nd of February. A depleted team tonight. We've got Matt. Hello, Matt.
Good evening, everyone.
We've got Joe.
Hello.
And we've got me, Tim. Given that we're a depleted team and we haven't seen, well, there hasn't been much football this weekend with both the City game and the Histon game. The worst thing was I'd actually arranged to go to the Histon game. I'd arranged to talk to Brian Page and get a couple of player interviews afterwards. So we were all ready to talk about Histon for a change. And it was called off. Two in a row. They got away to Gloucester and home to Gloucester. They managed to lose both games. Not lose both games. Both games were lost to the fixture list. Not too much to talk about apart from two United games and a very brief look at a St Neots game on Saturday. Now is the time more than ever. If you've got something to say, then get in touch with us. You can do it all the usual ways, either at studio@cambridge105.fm or terraces@cambridge105.fm. They both come through to us. Or you can go onto the website if you can't remember any of this and get in touch with us via the website, contact the studio. You can text us on 07919 070490. That's 07919 070490. Or you can tweet us at Terraces105 or find us on Facebook. So do please get in touch if you've got anything to say about any of the football that's happened this week, or indeed anything else that you want to bring up. More than welcome, and we'd love to hear from you. So without further ado... So it's been an interesting week, hasn't it, Matt?
Yes, just a bit, Tim, just a bit. It's the lows of the league this week and then the highs of the cup after yesterday, really. And, it's pretty hard to sum up this week because, in some cases I think we'd all have wanted the league victory more than the cup victory in the end, but as it stands, unfortunately, we fell to a deserved defeat Tuesday night against Grimsby, which was a massive game, one of the biggest games of the season, I think, in terms of league before Luton coming down to the Abbey. And it's one that the team sort of failed miserably in the end, really, because Grimsby were completely the better side. Outplayed us for pretty much all of the game and went away with three well-deserved points for them.
Yeah, they did. We were chatting about this before the show. There's kind of something missing, and you can point to a lot of potential different factors, and whether it's the loss of Maxwell at the back, being that commanding performance, number of unbeaten games and all of that, and Ian Miller's there marshalling, but Miller was doing, but Maxwell was doing it as well. So whether that's it, whether it's a general mid-season slight slump in form, whether it's injury, tired legs from heavy pitches and lots of travel, whether it's obviously we're missing a player up front. No one would argue that, but is that the be-all and end-all? And, Cunnington and Pye slotted in well together, and the point was made in the commentary at the weekend that there aren't any players... The up-front options that we've got haven't seemed to have slotted together quite as well. So there's a whole load of things that potentially are causing the problem, and it's difficult to put your finger on it. We've just said a number of times that we're putting in the performance, but it's just not counting for much at the moment, and we're missing something, whatever that something might be. It probably is, to be honest, a combination of all of those things, I would guess. But certainly the Grimsby game, we just simply played badly. I think it's as simple as that. You can make all the excuses you want, but at the end of the day, we just didn't play very well. And again, I don't like to criticise, but you can only point out that the keeper was at fault. It was a poor mistake that was made that gave Grimsby the goal. And Richard Money was joining in with everyone shouting at that point. But he said afterwards, and we'll listen to the post-match interview, which was quite interesting, shortly. It's probably one of the most curt and short interviews that I've heard Richard Money do. Mm-hmm. He acknowledged the better team won on the night, and there was no doubt in it. But I think hanging back to the Dartford game the week before, again, you know, we got 2-0 up. We looked good for 2-0 up, and then it all went wrong, and we ended up looked at one stage like we were going to lose 3-2. We managed to claw it back, and you could count that as a kind of mini victory, the fact that we didn't lose the game. But you know, I still think it was 2 points squandered rather than 1 point gained, I think is the best way of looking at it from my perspective.
I was away in Barcelona that weekend for the Dartford game, so I really didn't know what was going on, apart from that we drew 3-3, and when I got back and I chased it up, yeah, when you're 2-0 up away from home, and also when you score 3 goals away from home, there's one thing that you can't do, is that you can't lose the game. So you know, we didn't do that in that 1 point. But sometimes you've got to see games out, and that's the problem, is that at the moment we're not seeing any of these games out when it matters in the league at times. And you know, we've gone to places and we've cut teams apart for 90 minutes on their own patch, and either we've come away with a 1-0 defeat or we've come away with 1 point when it should be 3. And you know, the away form is really going to affect our league position. And now, you know, you sort of have this kind of worry with the home form after Tuesday's game, now that, you know, the run's been broken at home, where we hadn't lost all season, we'd won every single game. And I think that the more worrying thing is the manner of the defeat, in terms of the fact that we never looked like, even when we equalised, it came out of almost nothing, to be perfectly honest with you. We didn't really create too much at all. Grimsby were well organised, they were disciplined, their work rate was exceptional, and they are the best team that I've seen down the Abbey this season, and they're certainly a danger now to us in the league after this, because they've still got 2 games in hand after us. They're not going to be far behind once they've caught up. And and you're right though, Tim, you know, there's something lacking in this team at the moment. Is it a bit of creativity? I don't know. Defensively, we don't look as strong as what we were when Maxwell's in goal. John Sullivan, for all his good points, unfortunately, recently he's been costing us a couple of games, maybe, and especially a couple of goals as well. And, you know, it is a worrying trait. And one thing that we were doing so successfully early on in the season is that we were building our big victories from the back on the basis of being able to keep a clean sheet against teams. Now we just don't look like we're going to keep a clean sheet, and that means in some cases that we're having to go out and we're going to have to chase the game. And you know, up front, Tom Elliott, you know, unfortunately Tom Elliott's sort of been thrust into the first team before he's even really match fit, but I think, you know, he could do a little bit more himself. Barnsholm has been kind of unlucky in the fact that he came in and then he got a chest infection and he was ruled out for a little bit. Chambers, from what I heard, he's had a little niggle or two as well, so he's not been able to settle and play a lot of games. And yeah, of course you're gonna, you know, Adam Cunnington was a perfect foil for Opai when Opai was here, and that's why we were so successful while they were both here. And now we haven't got either of them. Yeah, we are struggling slightly, and you know, what's the more important one? No, I'd probably lean towards probably missing Maxwell more, because I think the team has goals in it. I believe that we've got goals in it, and strikers of Chambers, Barnsholm and Elliott's calibre, there's no way that they wouldn't be scoring goals. And that's the key thing there. You know, they're a good strike force for this division. but you know, we need something more, and it's certainly in the league at least. It's worrying times, and you know, our good friends over at Kidderminster are looming large towards us on Thursday live on TV as well. So it's not going to be an easy month for United, that's for sure.
No, it's not, and. You lose track of the number of times where suddenly you find yourself being a little bit negative, and the problem is that I think with the start we made to the season, particularly at home, yeah, of course we expect to win every game. We've done it so far, so why wouldn't you expect to win every game? And I don't think, you know, it may not be realistic. It may not be fair on the team to do that, but that's the way it is. You know, we're all talking promotion. We're the team weren't. That's the way fans work.
Yeah, of course.
And I think, you know, you become a victim of your own success. So as soon as anything goes wrong, it's, you know, oh, it's this is going wrong and that's going wrong, and everyone's got their theories of what it is. And at the end of the day, you know, we're still second in the league. We're still, I think, we were 3 points behind Luton now.
Yeah.
We've got the Luton game coming, so that makes that a vital 6-point game. That it's still potentially all in our own hands, and there's no need to go panicking about it at the moment. But you know, the comments that we're making, I think, are just reflective of what we're seeing on the pitch, that it's just not quite working at the moment. In the same way, the interesting thing is though you still see there are still. You know, more. You wouldn't even just call them flashes. There's still huge evidence of that passing game that we've got, but we seem to have gone a bit aerial at the moment. And again, I don't know whether that's because the pitches are heavy, and therefore the passing game doesn't work quite as well, especially away from home and some of the pitches we've played on. But you know, there are flashes. We can see it every so often. There was the individual goal that Bird scored at Dartford. Was a classic, there was some good play at times in the Grimsby game on the ground, but all in all we seem to be just trying to put it over the top, and it's often going to nobody at the moment. I don't know whether that's a tactical change for the pitches, or whether that's just, you know, we're slipping back into, and I won't call them old habits, but you know, that's the way that we have played that way in the past. I don't know what you. So let's listen. I'm going to play that. We had a chat with Ian Miller after the Grimsby game, so we'll listen to him first, and then we'll come back later on to the Richard Money. So this is Ian Miller after the Grimsby game.
Yeah, obviously commiserations on the result, but what did you sort of make of the performance level today?
I thought in patches we knocked the ball about extremely well again. You know, times that we need to be a little bit more solid, i.e. after we scored, you know, that's been our downfall tonight. You know, we normally defend set pieces reasonably well, and we don't normally do that after we score goals. So that's disappointing. But, you know, saying that, we've won 12 games on the spin at home. That's a positive to take, you know, from our form at home. We've lost the game. Yep, so what? You know, done and gone, and hopefully now we can carry on for another 10 games.
I guess that's the thing, when you've had such a massive run like that, suddenly there's a loss and everyone's sort of shocked and surprised. But, you know, to lose one out of 13 is nothing.
You know, if we'd have lost game number five and won the five after that, then no one says anything. But, you know, Grimsby are a good side. They're obviously in good form. They've come here, haven't sat back and let us play, as we expected. A good, well-organised side. At stages we struggled to get hold of. I thought offensively we could have done better first half, but you know, that's the game of football. You know, if we play brilliantly week in, week out, A, we wouldn't be in this league, and B, we wouldn't be having results and performances like we have today. So, you know, that's why we're you know, striving to do our best, as we are tonight. You know, we haven't had the rub of the green with the way that we've passed the ball about, no fault of our own. And we're the only people that can put that right, and I'm sure that we will work on that and ready for the next game that we play.
Maybe could have tested the goalkeeper a little bit more, but there were chances in the game. You know, you could well have easily had more.
Yeah, I think you know, it's always maybe easier watching from the side, thinking get shots off and test goalkeepers. And when we have tested him towards the end, he's made some good saves. You know, it's just disappointing that we haven't really. At least seen the game out when we've equalised, but You know, that's the game of football. That's why we love the game of football, because no one knows what's going to happen. Grimsby, as I said, are a decent side. But, you know, we're where we are for a reason, and hopefully we can put that back into practice for the next game.
Moving into a cup game at the weekend, mm-hmm. How easy is it to change track and take on a different competition?
You know, I think the mentality and the way that we approach the game will be exactly the same. We'll approach the game to win it. Eastleigh are a good side in the league below that are obviously financially well backed, and they're used to winning games of football because of where they are in the league. So it's going to be another tough test. I know they've had previous games on their patch called off, so it's not going to be a brilliant surface, but you know, I'm sure the gaffer will get us ready for them on Saturday, and he won't approach it any differently. We'll do exactly the same scouting. We'll you know, do our shape, our set pieces to combat them, and we won't take anything heartily, because the FA Trophy is a good competition. Some people badmouth it. I think it's a good competition where it gives us the opportunity to get to Wembley, and winning games is a good habit to be in. So we want to go there and win. Community Radio in your city.
Cambridge 105. You're listening to From the Terraces on Cambridge 105.
Yeah, so Ian Miller, not quite upbeat, but certainly, you know, pointing out the good bits as well as the bad. And I like him. I like Ian Miller. He's always good to talk to after the game. You know, we've spoken to him several times, but you know, he recognises there's problems there as well, which is good. So the interesting thing was that we also did get, got the usual Richard Money interview after the game. I'll play it, but. Mark Johnson from BBC Radio Cambridgeshire is the one that starts the questionings, and we join in afterwards if we've got anything to add to it. And it was quite interesting. Mark was trying to get stuff, get comments out of Richard. So let's play it, and then we'll just have a chat about that.
Well, Richard, your reflections on tonight?
A disappointing defeat, obviously.
Yeah. But the result doesn't necessarily tell the whole story. How about the performance?
No, I thought the best team won.
Yeah. Second half, I thought particularly, tempo looked higher. Chances at the end. It took a string of good saves from the Grimsby keeper to prevent a second equaliser.
Yeah, we gave it a bit more of a go in the second half, but as I said, the best team on the night has won the game.
They did look a well-organised, well-drilled side, didn't they?
They're everything we expected.
Yeah. In terms of your own team, good goal from Luke Berry again, and hitting back early in that second half was crucial, but that second goal just seemed to drain a little bit.
Yeah, disappointing. Second goal was disappointing, obviously. Both goals disappointing.
Yeah. In terms of getting back to home after so many away games, though, was it perhaps heavy pitches and lots of travelling taking a little bit of a toll?
No, I just don't think it was a good night for us. And you get them. 1 in 13, we've got them.
Yeah,
we've
exactly. Got one. Exactly. On balance, over the 13 games in the home in the season, it's a pretty good return so far. I've seen Cambridge play worse and get better results.
Well, I think a pretty good return is the understatement of the
year.
Yeah,
absolutely.
But we've got good players.
Yeah.
And we have to keep believing in those players.
Obviously a disappointing night for you, but time to put the league away for a little while now and get on with another competition.
Yeah, we have another big game on Saturday, and they all get bigger from here on in. I'm disappointed that we've lost the game.
Yeah.
And I'm disappointed that we haven't performed as we'd like to. But there's a whole lot more that's disappointed me, a lot more this evening. I'll leave it at that.
Okay, thank you, Richard.
So, it was it was quite a difficult interview. He didn't really want to say a lot, and it was kind of like fill in the blanks. You come off the back of the disappointment of the first home defeat of the season and all that. But the interesting comment, and again, I don't want to make more of this than it is, but the question we had afterwards is, you know, he referred to that's not the only problem we've got. I'll leave it at that, and he didn't want to say any more. And there's been a lot of speculation. And it's just, you know, it's largely just that speculation about the fact that it was a dig at the support, and the fact that there was quite a lot of unhappiness from the Terraces about the performance. There was quite a lot of shouting going on that wasn't exactly supportive. But hey, that's football. I don't believe that the Cambridge fans are any more negative than any other fans that I've ever come across. It's one of those things. If it's not going well on the night, it's frustrating for everyone. It's frustrating for the players. It's frustrating for management. And it's frustrating from the Terrace. And I don't see why, you know, we can't voice our frustration in the same way that Richard can voice his frustration at half time and in the dressing room afterwards. We don't get that opportunity, and it's probably a good job we don't get that opportunity, because Richard knows what he's talking about and we don't necessarily.
No, that's right.
You know, it's not a criticism, but it is interesting that we had the Maximus Munius incident. I was trying to work out what game was that after.
The Hereford game,
and then the comment he made this time, and I just want to play. I hope I'm allowed to do this. It's actually a clip from the press call on Thursday. It was done by the Cambridge Evening News. I'm just going to take a bit of it. So full credit, obviously, to the Cambridge Evening News for this. But I just want to play this little bit.
When you talk about starting again. Do you find that hard to sort of get your head around a bit? You know, always there, not the complacency as such, but you know, a feeling you could just sort of carry on from where you left off.
No, I definitely think that was the feeling on the terraces. Mm. Certainly not the feeling on the pitch.
So, again, that was a comment. He talked about being away from home a lot and coming back. It was difficult to start again. Well, that's where we cut into the interview. But that was just, I think, padding out a bit what he said on the Tuesday night about the voice from the terraces. And I'm just interested, you know, if anyone wants to come back to me on this, I'm just quite interested as to, I don't believe that the fans are negative. I think that the frustration is vented there and then, and it goes away, and it's always you know, in a week where we did lose our first home game, whether we've come across as negative, I don't know. I hope we haven't. But you know, I don't believe the crowd are negative, but is it really the job of the manager to have a go at the crowd when they're frustrated and vent that frustration, Matt?
I think it's a tough one because you know, it's at the end of the day, the manager has got to protect his players from the word go. Now, you know, in football, a lot of managers turn around and they talk about the amazing support from the fans and all this, and how much it plays a part to the players on the pitch, especially when times are going wrong or times are tough and things like this. So that dig, I think, is the fact that, you know, perhaps expectations are, and quite rightly, may I add, are high at home, because we'd won 12 games at home previous. No matter what, you know, matter where Grimsby were in the league and things like that and what form they're in, you still expected us to put in a performance that was better than what was delivered on Tuesday night for a start. And, you know, and it's frustrating because, yes, Grimsby were well organised, they were disciplined and they were quicker than us. But if we'd have sort of stepped it up a gear or two, it would have been an even better game and an even closer game. Might, you know, yes, there were chances at, you know, in the second half, but it took us almost 60, 65 minutes to actually get going, get the equaliser, and then we've conceded again straight away to a poor mistake. Now, you know, us as fans, unfortunately, we don't like seeing players make a mistake like that, especially it was a blatantly obvious mistake by the goalkeeper, who had no right to come out for that ball at all. Well, I mean, he came out for it, he seemed to have it under control, and suddenly he's flapped at it, you know, and it's cost us the game, and as simple as that. And, of course, there's going to be frustration, especially when we've been so solid at home all season. And, you know, we expect, you know, the fans expect, and that the fans expect the players to deliver. As I say, Richard Money will defend his players to the hilt. And if the one way that he can do it is he can turn around and say, well, hold on a minute, the fans were on our back, they didn't give us the support, that's why we sort of struggled a bit, then he's come to use that. And that's fair play. But it's the age-old argument of, you know, sometimes the players have got to get the fans fired up, and then sometimes the fans have got to get the players fired up. And, you know, both sort of have to offer something to each other. Tuesday night, I don't think, you know, the players nor the fans offered to each other at all as a football club. And you just listen to the Grimsby fans. I mean, I think there was almost 600 of them, almost, maybe a bit less,
there was about 500, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. And you listen to them for the whole 90 minutes, they were backing their team from the word go, because they were getting something from their team, and their team were responding to the fans. And, you know, that is a club, you know, from Tuesday night, that was a club that was united in that cause for what they wanted, which was a massive three points away from home against one of their sort of promotion rivals. And, you know, that's what we need from now on. You know, that's exactly what we're going to need from Thursday night, is that the players have got to go out there and they've got to work their socks off for the football club and the team to achieve whatever goals that we've got. And and the fans will back them. But then, you know, if there is a drop in the game, the fans will rally the players, you know, they will get behind the players as long as they've seen the effort that's been put in on that football pitch. And, you know, at the end of the day, we all love Richard Money, we all love his comments, and, you know, hearing that comment, it was that, you know, that interview was cringeworthy and it was embarrassing, but you could tell he was unhappy. But, you know,
and we made this point at the after the Hereford game, is that it's passion. You know, there's absolutely no doubt that he has a huge passion for the club, for the game, and for the club, and he wants to be there in a higher division. He said all along that the only thing that's wrong with the club is that we're playing in the wrong division. We don't belong here, we belong for, you know, one up. You know, so, and it's fantastic to see that. And don't get me wrong, I mean, it's not a criticism of him, it's just I mean just interested in you know, the views that people have. We've got a message from Dave Doggett. He says, for God's sake, cheer up, remember how far we've come in a year, which absolutely. And you know, we said this time, I think we're just a victim of our own success. When you've done as well as that, anything that goes wrong, people pick up on us, you know it That's just the way we are. If you carry on talking the team down, you'll probably change the course of the season. Again, you know, that's probably true. As Ian and Richard said, generally a poor performance against a good team. Richard and the team were more disappointed than any supporter, and you heard that. I mean, you could hear that in that interview. He was trying to be awkward. I think he was just he didn't know what to say, because you know he wasn't happy. The fans shouting extreme abuse during the match are not helping. Show your disappointment after the game, not during it. And then he points out the absolute obvious: we've lost one league match at home and two away, and we're in the semi-final of the FA Trophy. And I think that, you know, that says it all. Is, you know, we just expect more because we got more. It's been such a good season. Perhaps we should just shut up and just revel in where we are.
Well, good evening, Grandad Day. Good to hear from you again. And hopefully we'll catch up with you soon. If he'd heard me the other Sunday night when I was watching, you know, Spanish Premier League football, and that was a load of rubbish as well, you know. You know, come back on Tuesday and see that, Grandad Dave. You know, I wasn't particularly impressed, but no, he is right. He's made valid points there. You know, that is one defeat in 13 league games, and yeah, we're in the trophy semi-final. I still hate that Tim Pot trophy. I'll never, even if, and I know we're going to lift that trophy now. It's destined in the stars that we're going to win the thing, and I'll still hate it even then, but I'll celebrate and be drunk down, you know, in Cambridge with everyone else.
Not that we endorse drinking on Cambridge.
No, of course not, but that's where we'll all be. That's where From the Terraces will be on that cup final day anyway. But, yeah, no, it is. And, yeah, he does. He certainly does make a good point. You know, a year ago we were on the verge of going down, but, you know, we expect, I think fans expect, and players expect as well. And yeah, you can hear the disappointment, and that is one key thing, is that from a defeat you can really hear the disappointment, especially a home defeat. And you know, we've got to rally round, as Grandad Dave says. You know, we've got to rally round now. All of us have got to rally round, because it's a tough month. You know, we've lost two more games to the trophy.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, but it's something that we're going to have to deal with. I think we'll be playing Tuesday for the rest of the season now, pretty much.
Yeah.
And it's you know, it is litmus test time now. We've got some massive games coming up in the next couple of weeks, and you know, let's hope that we can keep injury free, rotate the squad so everybody sort of stays sort of fresh, and we can beat a few teams 1-0 again.
Yeah, so let's move on, as Dave said, and slap on the wrist for we don't mean to be negative. It's just a discussion, and I think, you know, we couldn't really ask to be in a better position at this stage of the season. So Eastleigh, so some good news.
We
won. Luke Berry got yet another goal, and we may have found a penalty taker as well.
Yeah, well, sorry to be negative again, Grandad Dave, but I've been banging on about Luke Berry taking the penalty all season, and he's just proved me right by scoring us the winner yesterday. But yeah, I mean, it was a good result against Eastleigh. We're a good side. They've got three games in hand, I think.
Yeah.
It's not Blue Square. Is it Skrill, isn't it? Skrill South. Three games in hand over the team that's top. I think it's Bromley that are top off the top of my head. They're going places. They've had a lot of money invested in them. They've got some good players there. I mean, the likes of Fleetwood and Strevens,
and of course Reason, who
Jay
played
Reason.
With us last season.
Yeah, well, he won't. Well, it didn't matter anyway. He's useless, but never mind. But there's a lot of money down there.
Yeah.
And professional, I think Richard Money called it yesterday. You know, we did what we had to do. We scored the goal. We weren't too threatened by them. We nullified their threat. And yeah, it's semi-final at the FA Trophy. I think the furthest we've been in this competition since being in non-league, and draws on Tuesday, I think.
No, it's Monday morning.
It's on 10:89 anyway. I think it's on Talk Sport, isn't it? So tune in, everyone.
So there's Gosport, there's Grimsby,
and it's Gosport. It's Grimsby and Gosport are definitely through with us, and then I think it's Aldershot and Havant and Waterlooville got to play. I think that'll be played on Tuesday.
So that could be interesting. So we could end up with a two leg against Grimsby, which would make for interesting playing. But yeah. I have to say, I mean, I was listening to the game, and a huge plus. Will Norris kept a clean sheet, played there. Apparently, yeah. I read somewhere on one of the things that he's not conceded a goal when he's been playing in the first team. I don't know.
No, he's played two games now against Tamworth away in the league, and obviously yesterday as well. Not and kept two clean sheets, and we've both won 1-0.
Yeah.
So you know, I think that delivers a dilemma to Richard Money. You know, does he keep faith in Sullivan? Or Will Norris has got the confidence of two clean sheets behind him and two appearances. Obviously signed the new deal during the week with Liam Hughes, a 2.5-year new deal. So he had a very, very good week, and by all accounts, he wasn't really particularly troubled at all. So, you know, it's good to see the young lad coming through now.
Yep.
Good to, I think it was a Jez signing as well, you know. So that, again, he came from Royston, so it's a localish football team. So the scouting network's been proved that, you know, it's done quite well there. And, you know, and I think the defence looked a lot more comfortable with him as well. Mm. And, you know, sometimes, again, it's a two-way street. Is, you know, when they know the goalkeeper's sort of a bit green, you know, he's not played too much at this level, they go that extra mile to try and do everything that they can to protect him, you know. And, you know, the defence has been our key point this year, and it seems to be working out with them and young Norris in goal. So it was a good thing, you know, a positive. And as I say, Luke Berry's stepping off the bench to fire in his 12th of the season in all competitions, you know. That's, again, that's another positive. He's become sort of better and better as the season coming on, and he's doing something which I always thought he should have done more, and that's score goals, because I think he is that sort of Frank Lampard type goal scorer. You know, he's not particularly sort of creative as such, but he's the one that can pop up and he can get that vital goal that the team needs. And I mean, he proved it Tuesday night with a fantastic header against Grimsby, and you know, the penalty yesterday. So yeah, it's interesting. I reckon we'll get Grimsby.
Yeah, and I think it was interesting. I think at the start of the season, didn't we all pick Luke Berry as the standout player?
Yeah,
I'm sure we did.
Yeah, no, and I think you can see why, and I think you can see why various teams have been scouting him this year. You know, you hark back to December when Harry Redknapp was on Soccer AM, and he turned around and he said, "I was down there watching a player." Well, it could have only have been one of two, which, and that would have been Dunk or Berry, personally. Yeah. I would have said it had been Luke Berry more. So, you know, he will be highly courted. He is a good player for his age. He's a very good player.
There were the transfer day rumours of a late deal at Peterborough.
Well, if that ever happened, then, you know, I think they'd be marching upon the... We don't sell Peterborough.
It's interesting. I mean, we lost Spillane, of course. Went by mutual consent with immediate effect. We extended the loan, Mitch Austin's loan at Lincoln, with a 24-hour recall. Mm. And we signed James Wren, Tamworth keeper, on a short-term deal, I believe. Again, all of these are just what I've read on the web, so they may or may not be true. So, some movement. I mean, the one problem, of course, with all the success we're having is that the players that we've got become attractive, you know, to other people. They're seen around. You know, that's part and parcel of what you get for it. But it's a huge compliment to the club that people are coming round and looking at the players, because I think, you know, again, for being really positive, we've got a fantastic team. And I know that there have been comments made that do we have the budget, do we need a bit more money. You know, this has come from Richard, I think it was. You know, I think what we've got is fantastic, and what we're doing with them, I think, you know, up until you know, the negativity that we put in this week has been fantastic, and I'm sure, you know, it's a blip, and we'll get back to the ways that we want to, and you know, we'll have a fantastic season. And the FA Trophy, to me, I mean, you know, is it the League Cup of the lower leagues? And but you know, a trip to Wembley is a trip to Wembley, and it's an achievement. And what a day out that is for everybody, for the players to play there, you know, for the fans to go down and watch. I mean, we'll be going, won't we, Joe, if they get there? Yeah. And I think, you know, it's good news. It's less good news that it's a two-leg semi-final. We lose two league games, and you know what the reasoning behind making that a two-leg, the only two-leg game in the competition. All of a sudden, I'm not quite sure why they feel the need to do that, and you know, it does add to the fixture jam. But I think generally, I mean, it's not just in the Conference Premier. I think across the games you look at, I mean, Cambridge City didn't play again, Histon didn't play again. The number of games that we're losing to, you know, to water is phenomenal. I mean, if it gets cold, well, you know, that's only going to get worse. And I think everybody's going to be struggling with a lot of midweek Saturday games.
I think you're right there, Tim. Firstly, I'm annoyed because one of the trophy games is when I was supposed to be going down to my dad's to watch United at Salisbury, and of course that one's been cancelled now for the trophy second leg. And if that's the home game, I'm not going to be very happy at all. So, I'm not very happy with the trophy.
Well, we rearrange games for BT Sport. Just put that request in.
Exactly.
Matt can't make it.
Yeah, I can't make it this week. Can you move it to Tuesday for me? Cheers,
so we've got Thursday, Kidderminster, to look forward to. That's going to be a good game away from home. Another important game, as we pointed out, they're all important at the moment. Hopefully we'll get there. I'm vaguely thinking of going. The problem is, unfortunately, I'm away for the next 3 days, so I get back and it may be too late to actually go. But I'd quite like to go down and see that game. So I'll be having a look on the club website for travel. So for those of you who don't travel with the club, it should be pointed out, just in case you weren't aware, that the club does run a coach to all away games. And if you want to join the coach, save that drive and let someone else do the work for you, then pop into the ticket office and book, or ring up and book. It's all the details are always on the website. Get down there and come and support the team away from home as well. It's always a great atmosphere there. There's always an impressive number of ewes travel down to get that.
There certainly is. Yeah, there's plans afoot for me to go as well. That's already in the pipeline. So I'll hopefully be there. 7:30 kickoff, of course. To all our listeners, please don't think it's a 7:45 kickoff. It is 7:30. Ticket prices and all that are up on the website now. Under-16s get in for free, so I'm going to have to try and make myself look under-16 now, so I don't have to pay anything. I don't think you'll get away with that one. No, not if I've had a pint of beer or two either as well. Yeah, that'd be quite hard. But yeah, it's going to be a tough game. Kidderminster, I mean, they're in a dreadful run of form, actually, since sacking Steve Bird. You know, they had a decent cup run, and I think that's sort of made them take their eye off the ball in the league. And of course, they were defeated quite comfortably by Gateshead on yesterday, who have now crept into fourth themselves, I think, you know, and they're coming along quite nicely. So it's going to be a tough one, you know. There could be a backlash. Of course, Michael Gash plays up front.
Yeah.
For Kidderminster, we won't say too much about that, especially if he scores. But
that could be the most unpopular goal of the night.
Yeah, I don't think I'd appreciate him scoring, but never mind. It's going to need a big performance, that's for sure. Yeah. It's our bogey ground as well. We haven't won there in God knows how many years. I think the last time we won was under Brabin. I think that was a few years ago. So yeah, no, it's always been a perennial bogey ground for us. We never usually win there.
But let's be positive. This year is another year.
In fact, the last time we won there, of course, under Brabin, it was a playoff year. So
there we go.
There is a positive there. So if we win again on Thursday, it's definitely at least a playoff year.
So the last word has to go to Uncle Dave, who's responded. Your response demonstrates why we are fans and love the club. We're all desperate for success, and it makes a defeat harder to take. Onwards and upwards together. He reminds us that the draw for the FA Trophy is, as you said, Matt, Tuesday, live on TalkSport. At 10:30. When did we last win silverware? I think it was 1991. So let's get a trip to a nice day out to Wembley.
What about the league? What about the second place in the league or third place in 98-99 under McFarland? Don't that count as silverware? Come on, Grandad Dave, check the trophy collection, we'll
go to some music and then we'll come back and we'll talk about what little football there was with St Neots. I'll read out the match report, I think is probably what's going to happen. So this is the Clash, Spanish Bombs.
Inside in the days of 39. Oh, please leave the window. bonito. Yo no fuera, oh my corazón. Spanish bones, yo te quiero infinito. Yo no fuera, oh my corazón. Spanish weeks in my disco casino. The freedom fighters died up on the hill. They sang the red flag. They wore the black one after they died it for Mockingbird Hill. Back from the buses. Went up in flashes, Irish too, drenched in blood. Spanish bombs shattered the hotels. A senorita's old was nicked in the bar. Spanish bombs, yes, the quiero infinito. Yes, the quiero, oh my corazón. Spanish bombs, yes, the quiero infinito. Yes, the quiero, oh my corazón. Hillsides ring with through the people. Or can I hear the echoes from days of 39? Trenches full of bullets, a ragged army fixing bayonets to fight the other line. Spanish bombs rock the province. I'm hearing music from another time. Spanish bombs cause the problem. I'm dying in on a DC 10 tonight. Spanish bombs, you're the quiero infinito.
Your station for the city.
We are Cambridge 105. You're listening to From the Terraces on Cambridge 105.
So St Neot's the only team to play this week. As I said, the disappointment of actually arranging everything to go down to Histon and everything was quite large. But they were on a double header, and the rearranged game against Gloucester, and then it was time just before the home game. So the away game was cancelled, and then they did a late pitch inspection on Saturday morning for the home game, and that was postponed as well. So again, two more fixtures that never happened. As I say, unfortunately, We were going to talk to Brian Page and get a catch up from him. They've kind of gone down again. They had a good patch just after the Colwyn Bay game, just in the middle of December. Went for a number of decent games, some good results. They were unlucky against Stockport County. I think that was 2 weeks ago now, where as we just talked about on the show last week, when you look at the highlights on the home team, you normally expect to see a fairly skewed version of what happened, but in fact the highlights were all in Histon's favour, and it looked like they'd really dominated the game. And I know that Brian made the point he couldn't believe that they'd come away with nothing out of it, but a run of unfortunate results, near misses, has put them back down. I think they're one or two above the relegation relegation piece at the moment, so we were going to catch up with him, but we'll leave that for another day. We'll definitely go back to that, and Steve was going to do a phone-in, but he kind of felt it was a bit pointless because City didn't play and there wasn't a lot to talk about. So St Neots, the only team who played this weekend, and they played a league game against Banbury, and I think there was a lot of crowing after the game because Banbury made the comment, we shouldn't lose to a team like St Neots, and as was pointed out, you've lost to them twice, so obviously not a good thing to say. So I've got the match report, and apologies for this because I'm just going to read it out because obviously we weren't there. So St Neots 3, Banbury United 1. St Neots extended their unbeaten home record to 7 matches now as they ease past Banbury to record their first league double of the season. However, in very testing conditions, they had to show commendable character and determination, coming from behind after losing the toss and having to play against the strong blustery wind in the first half, and we all know how difficult that can be. Manager Gary King again rotated his squad, recalling Jay Davis and Simon Thomas for Ben Ford and Matt Nolan, but the quality is there and the chances were almost seamless to the performance of the side. Neither side looked comfortable in the first half hour as they strove to master the conditions, but as the match wore on, it was St Neots who looked the more composed, and in the second half the home goal was seldom under pressure. The only downside was the performance of Watford referee Jake Hillier, who contrived to issue 7 yellow cards in a match that never had a single bad tackle. And we how many times have we could criticise, but
that's such a cliche, isn't it? There was never a bad tackle in the match, and yet 7 yellow cards were shown. You know,
by definition, there must have been 7 bad tackles, yeah, wasn't exactly. There at least. Banbury created the first scoring chance after just 2 minutes when John Barra was left unmarked 10 yards from goal. But fortunately for St Neots, he had Marvin Martin's free kick high over the bar. 4 minutes later, St Neots had a similar opening when Arthur Lee joined the attack to cross to the far post, where Shane Tolley headed downwards from a narrow angle, but visiting keeper Kwame Forder was able to block his effort. Twice Nathan Abbey had to be quickly off his line to gather at the feet of Don Lawless and Anderson Pinto, and the keeper also palmed a Luke Cray cross for a corner. However, the play was not all one way, and Simon Thomas almost beat the visiting keeper to a Ferrari cross. However, it was Banbury who made the first breakthrough following a Cray free kick. The ball fell to Lawless, surrounded by defenders, and when his shot rebounded off an opponent, it fell to Marvin Martin, who netted with a low shot. St Neots responded with a couple of swift attacking moves, and from the second, Lewis Hilliard threw himself at a Tolley cross, but the keeper saved well. Then on the stroke of half time, St Neots levelled when Banbury failed to clear a free kick, and Lorenzo Ferrari showed fine control to collect the ball and fire well beyond the reach of Forder to register his first goal for St Neots and ensure going in even. With the win behind them after the restart, St Neots played with greater freedom, and it didn't take long for them to gain territorial advantage with the win at their backs. Forder diving bravely at the feet of Thomas after clever work by Jay Davis, and then the first St Neots substitute saw Dan Cracknell on in midfield with Davis pushed forward. After 65 minutes, St Neots had the ball in the net, but the effort was ruled out by an offside flag, but didn't deter them. With Jake Woolley also on to freshen up the attack, he was quickly in action, seeing a dangerous cross headed over his own bar by Mbara. The pressure on the visiting defence always looked likely to tell, to tell, but there was only 10 minutes remaining when St Neots went in front. An attack through the centre of the field saw Lewis Hilliard at the defence before running at the defence before unleashing a trademark shot from 20 yards that left the keeper rooted to his line. Now St Neots were rampant, and it was no surprise when they clinched the points with a very special goal masterminded by Jay Davis. He rounded one defender and twice exchanged passes before a clever reverse pass set up Jake Woolley for a clinical finish. They took St Neots' goal tally to 43 in just 29 matches. That's some going.
Yeah, it's not bad.
The highest number in the bottom two thirds of the table. So that leaves St Neots, and I'm just looking at this map centre, first team table. We'll get there in a second. It leaves St Neots desperately playing for time while it comes up somewhere in the league. It leaves St Neots in 19th position. 28 points from 29 games. One above Chippenham Town and one below Truro City. So a good win for them, obviously. They need to stick together a couple more results. Up at the top of that league, we've got Hemel, 28 played, 66 points. Chesham, 28 played, 55 points, so an 11-point gap up there. Mm. And then Cambridge City, of course, 26 played, so two games in hand, again on 55 points. So, 58, 61? 61 points if they win the games in hand. Potentially still all to play for at the top of the league as well. So that's it, really. We've now exhausted the only game, only other game that was played. I suppose we should have checked. Has anyone else got midweek games this week? Do we know?
I would imagine Cambridge City probably have got a midweek game.
Joe will look that one up quickly. I think if Cambridge City have got a game, I would guess, given the number of games that we've got that everybody's got to play, I would have thought they would have one. So we'll come back to that. Other than that, really, that's it. It just remains to say we're not negative, honest.
No, definitely not.
we get frustrated when we lose because that's it. That's what football fans do. We like to win. And I'm sure, you know, obviously it's been heavily dominated by the U's this show because there wasn't much other football. But I don't suspect we're any different from Cambridge City fans or St Neot fans or Histon fans. It's great to win. And when you're doing well, everything's hunky-dory. And when you're not doing so well, it's sometimes difficult to remember that you have done well and you're in a good position. So we've got a Joe. What are we?
They have a game.
Go on. It's
in
against
the Cambridge Invitational.
Oh, it's the Invitational. Oh. That's right. It is
against Linton Granta.
Yeah, that's right.
On Wednesday. Kick-off at 7:45.
That's a home game, is it?
Yeah, that'd be it.
So there you go. So if you fancy going to see some football midweek, if it's on.
No.
Oh, come on.
It'll be Cambridge City reserve team, and I'm sure Steve will agree with me that it'll be fringe players and reserve players.
Yeah. But it's football. It's football, and we all love a good game of football.
No, we've got a game on Thursday. Yeah. Sorry, Steve. I will get back down again soon.
Excellent. So, as usual, I'll give you the details to catch up with us again next week. So it's terraces@cambridge105.fm for email or from the web. You can go into the contact form, which is what Dave Doggett did, actually. He went to the website and did the contact the studio. Text us on 07919 070490, or watch the Twitter stream. Tom's quite active on the Twitter stream, and I think we're all getting there slowly. So keep an eye out on the Twitter stream for any messages. Other than that, that's it for this week, and we'll catch you next week with hopefully some more football to talk about, depending on how everything goes. We'll finish the show this time with an old record from the Violent Femmes, Blister in the Sun.
Even know why my girlfriend, she's at the end, she is starting to cry when I'm walking. up again. I'm so strung out. I'm high as a kite. I just might have to check you out. Let me go out.